You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thinking, say something, butthead. No need to start like that on a Monday. Yeah, be thankful that a lot of you aren't even working. Today the nation celebrates the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, and so we'll listen to his two most famous speeches. I think the I Have a Dream speech is one of the greatest speeches in American history. He is a great speaker, period, right? But that speech is a culmination of, if you listen to his speeches, and you can buy them online. If you do that, he uses a number of those powerful visual images in speeches over the course of his years of public speaking and preaching. And so we'll hear that. It's about 17 minutes, and I love playing it. I love listening to it because it's so powerful. And not just the part where he says, "I have a dream, you know, one day that my children will be judged on the context of their character, and not the color of their skin." And there's the check written on the bank of freedom that has been returned. And it's American history, right? And a time in our history that we use the word Negro, and he uses it, has returned that check for non-sufficient funds. The Bank of Freedom has returned that check, or something like that. I mean, when he says, "Let freedom ring," and he talks, you know, he goes through all these places, to the mighty Mississippi, let freedom ring. I mean, it's just an incredible speech. I love to, so we'll listen to that. We'll also hear in the first hour today a little bit of Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, who was laid to rest. Arlie Ermey was laid to rest on Friday at Arlington National Cemetery. So he inspired so much laughter in the Marine Corps, and with his portrayals of Marines. And then I think I know my kids were, but what was it on the History Channel? He used to do mail call. And all he, what was funny about it was all he did was act like a gunny. That's what he did. You know? And so so he was laid to rest. But he entertained so many people. And brought the concept of the gunny into everybody's home. And then, you know, when they would take breaks for mail call, and he would say stuff like, stay where you're at, fat body. You don't need another donut. Right? We'll be right back. I mean, come on, that is hilarious. I mean, but that's what a gunny would say if they were hosting a show. And all he did was he played that character that he played, that he was in, you know, in the Marine Corps. And he brought that character to so many people who thought it was so funny. It reminds me of one of the things I said during the post-traumatic winning thing in terms of the concept and the idea of the power of your gunny, right? I never worried. I never worried about my reactions to whatever trauma that darkened my doorstep, and I didn't because my gunny told me that that would be, you know, that was normal. My gunny told me that, right? And that's an emotional term, right? Not in terms of, I mean, that is a, when you're gunny, right? That's a, that guy's, if he or she is legit, that's a powerful person in your life. And so if your gunny tells you something, I mean, you can take that shit to the bank. So anyway, good Monday morning to you. What we're going to do on the show today, so we're going to do a little bit of both of that here in the first hour. We'll get to some news. And then after that, we are going to be joined by Alex Hollings today. So we'll talk to Alex, and we're going to ask him about some of the stuff he's written lately. He's written about replacing the F-15. He's written about Russian military being a hollow force. And he's written about the latest thing to come out of China. It's kind of like doom and gloom everywhere, right? It's like being in a James Bond movie where Dr. Evil is attempting to control the world. So anyway, so that's what we'll do this morning. And then what else do I have to do? I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. I'm good. I will tell you this though. One other thing: post-traumatic winning is blowing up, and it really hasn't even got going yet. But I had conversations with people from law enforcement over the weekend, up in the state of Washington. Had one of the MEF commanders email me this morning. Mac, what's up? It's a pretty amazing, pretty incredible week, and we'll update that story as well. So it's good things happening, and what's I think most exciting is the opportunity to be able to help people, you know, to bring them. First of all, to bring them reality, to put them in touch with reality that they've never and they've never heard it like that before. And I know that it sounds, if you listen to this program, it sounds like, well, wow. But you know what? I was in my late 30s when I crossed paths with Gunny Y, and he told me, you'll never get over this, right? And so when I give that advice, even today, I'm surprised that people don't know that. And I shouldn't be, but yet I am. And so the chance to lighten loads, and the way just in the last 2 weeks, the things that have happened to me are crazy. And I don't know if I said this last week or if it happened after I got off the air on Friday, but I got a call from Headquarters Marine Corps on Friday, I think after I got off the show, and Lieutenant Colonel says, hey, Mac, I was given your name, and we have an opening to speak at the General Officer Symposium, and I was told to call you. And it's only an hour. I know your thing's longer, but we're wondering, and we know it's on short notice. Could you do that? I said, absolutely, I could. So, cool stuff going on. Cool stuff going on. So with that said, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to people that listen to the program, whose lives get impacted, that I don't even know about. So this is dedicated to you. I know you're out there, and on occasion you contact me, but a lot of you don't. But you listen. And I love that. It's kind of the weird part about radio, that when you meet people who listen to the program, they know you. They know about you. They know about you. They know about your family. They know about your life. They know about your moods from your voice. Yeah, and then you got mad. this is dedicated to everybody who's out there that listens, that doesn't email, doesn't call in, and enjoys the program, and then uses what they learn here to touch the lives of others, because that really is what this program is about and has been about since it started. So...
Our flag. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
There's that word again, winning. It's a cultural thing. Whoa. Sunny and 18 in Quantico. Hee. Four weather warnings, so we got to go down that rabbit hole. Wow. That's pretty amazing. There's a wind advisory in effect in Quantico. There's a wind chill advisory. There's a gale warning and a small craft advisory. All right. It says four, but you know what? Not so much. Two of them have to do with water, so it was really two. You know, they have wind, and then the two accompanying announcements are water-related, so, because there's a bay next to it. All right, at Kent Lejeune, it's sunny and 28. Yikes. Granbury, Texas, mostly cloudy and 41. 29 Palms, sunny and 46. Pendleton, cloudy and 52. In Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy and 62. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, it is dark, clear, and 51. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 43. Currently, in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 52 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Sun actually came out. We broke 70 over the weekend. Looking for a high of only 62 today, though, with sunny skies. Tomorrow, sun and 67, and on Wednesday, sun and 69. That is a look at your weather. We're going to take a break when we come back. We'll check news headlines. You'll hear a little bit from Lee Ermey. And you'll hear Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, which I really enjoy. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good,
but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. And we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the grunt.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for so. You. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean.
That was General Allen and the Commandant General Neller talking about being gloating over being good looking.
Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there.
The song associated with post-traumatic winning, called "Hurt," but it's okay to hurt.
But right now.
Arlie Ermey passed away during the winter, and often you don't see funerals until much later, and normally in the spring. He was interred on Friday in the snow at Arlington. So if you see pictures, you see the honor guard. He was cremated, and and interred at Arlington. So. So you're going to hear, we're going to hear a little bit of his stuff. All right. And, there's about 6 minutes of the best of his stuff from Full Metal Jacket, which honestly is the first time you went to it and saw it. Tell me you didn't just laugh your ass off, because it was the experience. All he did was replicate that experience for the movie Full Metal Jacket, and it was hilarious. Right? The first part of the movie is funny. It's about Marine Corps recruit training in the 60s, and the story goes, he was a technical advisor, and he was trying to, you know, the actor was screwing it up, and then he'd say, no, like this, then he'd knife-edge the guy. And I guess at one point, the story goes, they said, why don't we just have him do it? And that's how he launched a pretty successful acting career, playing a gunnery sergeant.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death praying for war. But until that day, you are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings.
You know, we're different, obviously a different culture then, right? We got treated rough as kids. You know, Dave Furness and I were talking, right? When all of our coaches and all the males that were teachers, most of they were all veterans from World War II or Korea, some from Vietnam, but most World War II and Korea guys. I mean, and so when you didn't practice right, when you weren't doing it right, you didn't get a water break, right? You didn't get. Look, we're going to do it right. Right? You don't need water. You're fine. Yes, coach.
You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on niggers, kites, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved Corps.
Now, people don't like this scene because it's too true to life, right? I mean, you had raw-boned, and they didn't care what color you were, right? Jack Riley, who, if you've never heard Jack Riley's interviews, Jack Riley, he tells stories about, he's a kid from Alabama, and he goes to boot camp, I want to say in 66 or 67, probably 66, and he winds up in Vietnam as a Lance Corporal in 1967, 1968. So he's from Alabama, and his senior drill instructor, I want to say, his last name is Elliot. And if you hear the way he talks about this guy, at first he was terrified because he was from, I want to say he was from Detroit or someplace like that. And he said, and with my southern accent and what was going on in the country, I thought, oh no, this is not going to go well for me. And that guy touched Jack Riley's life so deeply and he had fought at the Chosen Reservoir. And he had, they stayed in touch via writing letters. Imagine that, a recruit with this senior drill instructor. And different colors in the 60s. And so they're both in Vietnam. In the vicinity of Riley, south of Con Tien, which is Con Tien just south of DMZ, and Elliot's at Con Tien, and so he knows he's going to see him, and I think Riley gets her on either like May 8th or June 8th, and Gunnar Sergeant Elliot was killed like the week prior to, and you can hear in his voice still when he talks about it how shaken he was and what a great man he said he was, but people don't like this scene because it's too real. This is the way the Marine Corps was. And, right, it was raw and the country was different. But those guys, they meant that. They didn't care what color you were. Interesting.
Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
What's your name, scumbag?
Sir, Private Brown, sir!
Bullshit, from now on you're Private Snowball. Do you like that name?
Yes, sir!
Well, there's one thing that you won't like, Private Snowball. They don't serve fried chicken and watermelon on a daily basis in my mess hall.
Yes, sir!
Is that you, John Wayne?
Now, if you've never seen the movie, this happens to everybody, right? The lights go out and people start goofing off, right? And so, on a given evening, somebody will be lurking near the hatch. And people start talking, right? And they come in and do this. And you're laying in your rack, staring at the ceiling, going, no, we're asleep. You're supposed to leave us alone. So when he says, is that you, John Wayne? If you've never seen the movie, that's when it takes place. The lights go out, and then he says that, and then this happens.
This me?
Who said that? Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toed cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? Nobody, huh? The very fucking godmother said it. I'm fucking standing. I will PT you all until you fucking die. I'll PT you until your assholes are sucking buttermilk. Was it you, you scroungy little fuck?
Huh? Sir, no, sir.
You little piece of shit, you look like a fucking worm. I bet it was you.
Sir, no, sir.
Sir, I said it, sir.
Well, no shit.
Now, the thud you hear is going to be a punch to the stomach.
What have we got here? A fucking comedian, private joker. I admire your honesty. Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister. You little scumbag! I got your name! I got your ass! You will not laugh! You will not cry! You will learn by the numbers! I will teach you! Now get up! Get on your feet! You had best unfuck yourself, or I will unscrew your head and chip down your neck!
Sir, yes, sir!
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved corps?
Sir, to kill, sir!
So you're a killer?
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face!
Sir!
You got a war face? Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face!
Ah!
Bullshit! You didn't convince me! Let me see your real war face!
Ah!
You don't scare me! Work on it!
Sir, yes, sir!
What's your excuse?
Sir, excuse for what, sir?
I'm asking the fucking questions here, Private. Do you understand?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Can I be in charge for a while?
Sir, yes, sir.
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
Sir, I am, sir.
Do I make you nervous?
Sir.
Sir, what? Are you about to call me an asshole?
Sir, no, sir.
How tall are you, Private?
Sir, 5'9", sir.
5'9"? I didn't know they stacked shit that high. You trying to squeeze an inch in on me somewhere, huh?
You know what? I haven't heard listen to this in a while, but the shit you hear that they say, oh my God, it's like a comedy routine that won't stop. You know?
No, sir!
Bullshit, it looks to me like the best part of you ran down the crack of your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress!
Who says that kind of shit? Where does that come from?
I think you've been cheated! Where in hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you a Peter Pupper?
Sir, no, sir!
I'll bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
What? What is, like, who, like, where does that come from?
I'll be watching you. Did your parents have any children that lived?
Sir, yes, sir.
I bet they regret that. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece. What's your name, fat body?
Sir, Leonard Lawrence, sir.
Lawrence, Lawrence, what, of Arabia?
Sir, no, sir.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Sir, no, sir.
Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir.
Bullshit, I'll bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
Sir, no, sir.
I don't like the name Lawrence. Only faggots and sailors are called Lawrence. From now on, you're Gomer Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Do you think I'm cute, Private Pyle? Do you think I'm funny?
Sir, no, sir.
Then wipe that disgusting grin off your face.
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, any fucking time, sweetheart.
Sir, I'm trying, sir.
Private Pyle, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Exactly 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid-looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull-fuck you. 1, 2, 3.
Sir, I can't help it, sir.
Bullshit! Get on your knees, scumbag!
Now, right, what's going to happen now? And he does this thing that is... You know, you can't choke them, right? Right? That's against the rules. But they could choke themselves, right? It's the stupidest shit you've ever seen in your life. You've ever seen somebody do it. So you take your hand and you put it palm down parallel to the ground. Okay? You put all your fingers together and then you take your thumb and you spread it as far out, right? So you have that V cut. Okay. And you tell them to put their throat in there and choke them, and choke themselves. It's just the stupidest stuff you ever heard. But in the environment with them screaming at you and all the other craziness, ugh.
Now choke yourself. God damn it, with my hand, numbnuts. Don't pull my fucking hand over there. I said choke yourself. Now lean forward and choke yourself.
God.
Are you through grinning?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I still can't hear you. Sound off like you've got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's enough. Get on your feet. Private Pyle, you had best square your ass away and start shitting me Tiffany cufflinks, or I will definitely fuck you up. Sir, yes.
There you have it. Lee Ermey laid to rest in Arlington Cemetery. That was the character that you know brought him incredible national attention, made him a spokesman for the Marine Corps. He died almost a year ago, April 15th, 2018, at his home in California from complications of pneumonia. And he's now been laid to rest in Arlington. Anyway, he was an incredible spokesman for the Marine Corps. Whether he would do things for Toys for Tots and all kinds of stuff that the Marine Corps got him involved to. He was his remains are interred in Section 82, currently under a temporary marker. Like all of this, normally the permanent one arrives within 30 to 90 days. So I will tell you one of the funniest things I ever saw him do, and I've told this story before, but it was a Toys for Tots thing, so it's before Christmas, I'm in Ramadi, I'm eating breakfast, right, there's the TVs on in the chow hall, and I'm eating breakfast, and he's on with Matt Lauer and Katie Couric, and Yasser Arafat had just passed away. And so, you know, they're getting ready to do the thing, and he says, Matt Lauer says, well, Gunny, before we talk about Toys for Thoughts, just a quick thought on the passing of Yasser Arafat. Matt Lauer was horrified at what happened next. So, Ermey says, I celebrate today and dance on the grave of a terrorist. And you can imagine. Yeah. And he said, it is a great day in the world with Yasser Arafat, you know, in the dirt. I celebrate. And they're trying to, oh, thanks. Oh, my God. I almost wet my pants laughing. It was a mouthful of cereal. I choked that down and sat there and laughed. It was. And then before they laughed, the final shot, he said it again. Hey, Lee, thanks for Gunny. Thanks for the whatever. And he said, no problem. No problem. All right. You're not going to hear one of the greatest speeches in American history. We celebrate the legacy and the life of Martin Luther King today. His birthday, I believe, is on the 19th of January. And so today we celebrate his legacy as a federal holiday. So this speech is one of the greatest speeches of all time. And he was a great speech maker in general, and this one is absolutely off the chart. So a little bit of reflection of how far we've come as a nation from the 60s, for those of us who were alive during that period of time. And anybody who says we're now more divided than ever, pat them on the head and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know what divided is. So Dr. Martin Luther King. And it was the March on Washington, where I want to say they had, what, over 500,000 people come to Washington, D.C. for this march. So, here he is.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must be able to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is
the largest ovation up to that point of the speech.
They have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? Never. We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
One of the great speeches in American history. And when you listen to the whole thing and you see how he walks you on that journey with everybody. There's a trilogy of Pulitzer Prize winning books that if you're ever interested in reading about him, he lived a really difficult life because everybody wanted him, a piece of him, and also if he didn't do what they asked, I mean, they turned on him and lit him up like you can't believe. And I'll just tell a quick story. He was, you're planning a march in Atlanta, but he's using speaking fees to fund money to get people out of jail that have sat in their freedom marches. So you want Dr. King to come to your march in Atlanta, but he's got to go to Chicago to earn $60,000 to post bail for all these people. And when he says no to you, you're not happy. And, see the way he is? See the way he is? And it's just, you read about his life. And he, man, that was not an easy thing. And it's the fight against segregation, but also, at times, just as contentious is the fight within the civil rights movement. You have Malcolm X on one side, you have people that wanted to be more aggressive on the other side, and then you had Dr. King with his, with his philosophy of nonviolence and trying to keep it held together, trying to get money, blah, 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 blah. And so, and then you read about the Kennedys, it's very disappointing when you read about them, They didn't want to go anywhere near that. They didn't want to go anywhere near that. And the irony of it is, Sergeant Shriver got John Kennedy to make a call to Coretta Scott King when Dr. King was in jail in Georgia, and say, "Hey, look, I'm keeping my eye on this, and I want to help." And I don't even think he said, "I want to help. I just wanted to call and tell you that we're concerned," or something like that. He didn't put himself in a position where he would have to help, because the Kennedy philosophy was civil rights is a loser. You're just going to lose white votes in the South. Okay, and as Democrats, right? The Democrats hold the South. They were the party of slavery, and they were the party of segregation. So people hear that now, and I remember somebody telling me, "No, they weren't." I'm like, "You need to read history, okay?" So anyway, but that call is credited. Kennedy wins in a slim, slim, slim margin, but that call is credited with moving the black vote almost entirely into Kennedy's side, because at churches across the country they handed out flyers that said John Kennedy called Coretta Scott King, and he wins by a very, very narrow margin. So it's ironic history. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. Alex Hollings is supposed to join us next. More of Almarine Radio coming at you right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on.